Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good evening once again, everybody. Beloved, tonight's the night that we come this Friday night with Thanksgiving our Lord. For the Lord has been good to us. From where we started at this day, God is still able for us. It behooves us today to take notice of what God has to say to us and through us. Tonight's a great night that I've asked the pastor to come on tonight. He's got a word for us, and we're going to hear what he has to say in the name of Yeshua HaMashiach, the name of Jesus. Pastor Irving.
Hi, Doctor. How are you doing tonight?
I'm blessed. And you?
Oh, blessed. Highly flavored.
Amen.
See, I got a friend of yours sit there and said to say hello, Dr. Winston Cooper.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh. Well, you tell Winston Cooper I said hello.
Okay, I'll do that.
Last
night, or the other night when we were talking, and I brought forth the word, talked about David, and the restoration in our lives. But, you know, if you go back even further, the Old Testament is a prelude to the New Testament.
Yes.
Right? So,
right.
If you go back through and you look, but John the Baptist, he was born with the Holy Spirit. He was born with the Holy Spirit. And then the transfer the Spirit onto Jesus during the day of the baptism.
Yeah.
We are baptized in Christ.
Amen.
But we are also the forerunners of the second coming. So we are basically the John the Baptist crying out into the wilderness.
Yes.
Pardon me?
I said crying in the wilderness.
Yes, sir. And you know, I've been trying to figure all day, but I came into Isaiah 5. And it speaks to God. You know, a lot of churches don't want to speak about what God is going to do. And, you know, I don't know if they're afraid. I would be more afraid not to know the truth than to know the truth.
And well, that way it can help. Amen. You're saying it right.
You know, in Isaiah 5, it says, now I sing my well-beloved a song unto the beloved touching his vineyard. My well-beloved has a vineyard in the very fruitful hill. That's God's glory. That's God's land. It's his promise.
Uh-huh.
Basically. All right. And then it says, and he fenced it and gathers out the stones thereof and plant in it the choicest vines and built a tower in the midst of it. And also made the wine presses therein, and he looked that it should bring forth grapes, and it brought forth wild grapes.
Yes.
So God created the heavens and the earth and everything upon it. He made it perfect. But it was in the downfall of Adam. Instead of bringing forth the true grapes, it brought forth the wild grapes.
Yes. Speak, preacher, speak.
You know, so and it says, now in his habitations of the Jerusalem, the men of Judah, judge, I pray you, betwixt me and my vineyard.
Yes.
You know, and in doing and talking to that, God is telling us to look at what the world is. He's talking about the tribe of Judah. That's all those that have come into Christ.
Amen.
He's talking to the tribe of Judah. He's telling us, look what the world has become. What is the world becoming to be? You know, if we can go on and we can see it. I mean, I was just looking on there. It is in New York. They just passed a law that it's okay for an uncle to marry his niece.
Yes. Boy, that's evil.
Yeah, and then, you know, and then I saw another a piece in there where a mother and father hung their three-year-old upside down and beat that little boy to death because he wouldn't eat his breakfast.
My God.
You know, we can see the ugliness and the darkness that's brewing in this country.
Yes.
And we can see, not just in this country, but all over the world.
This
stuff is happening, and God's telling us this is the stuff we need to be judging. And that crap, what people are saying, I don't mean to say crap, but I'll say it anyhow. The stuff that we're seeing, they're saying, well, judge us not, you'll be judged. Well, you taking that clean out of the context, because God says we are to judge this. And we are to look upon it as it being unrighteous and ungodly. We're to stand in the light of Christ and be the light of Christ in that dark place. And those who are supposed to look upon it, not to condemn them, but to bring condemnation to them to into repentance of their sins and of the darkness. We are to stand in judgment of this stuff that's going on in the world. That doesn't mean I'm going to judge you on a personal level, unless it is God sits there and he tells us that we need to look at these things and we need to judge them for ourselves, what is righteous and what is not. And we are to stay away from it at the same time. We need to stand in unity.
And you stand in unity.
We need to stand in unity and come against this.
Yes.
You know, and the only way we do that, we keep preaching the gospel. We keep crying in the wilderness as John the Baptist for the second coming of Christ, because when he comes, his judgment will be far worse than what we judge.
My God.
You know, it says in Father says, now go to and I will tell you what I will do to my vineyard. I will take away the hedge thereof, and it shall be eaten up and broke down, and the walls thereof, it shall be trodden down. God is talking about he is going to destroy, let the world go. He's going to destroy it. Well, he even says he's going to destroy it. He's going to allow it to destroy
it. I hear you.
He said it will lay it to waste. It shall not be pruned nor dug, but it shall come up briars and thorns, and it will also command the clouds that rain no more upon it. He's talking about the clouds. He's talking about everything, the rain, that's the righteous rain, that's the rain of the natural, that's the rain. He's talking about the total destruction of the world. He even says that heaven and earth will start, his word will stand. We need to start preparing those right now, and we need to start speaking this in the churches. And if the people get scared and they say they don't want to hear this, well, then, you know, that's on them. But the pastors need to get out and start crying into the wilderness again. And they need to start putting forth this word. They need to start telling people. They need to start preparing these people. They need to be able to start honing in on what it is that God is going to do, because in the end times, God is going to give all power over to Satan. Satan is going to be able to call down the flames from heaven. He's going to be able to do all these things that people are going to say, my God, this is the true God.
My God, my God.
And
my
the people are going to be betrayed. The people are going to be in a place of denial of Christ, and you can see it now. You can see the churches that are falling away. You can see how the some of the churches are turning from God and going back to the Old Testament. They're turning away. They're turning to everything else, humanism. They're turning into everything else and saying, no, this is the way it is to be. This is it. This is the new God. This is the creation. And it's wrong because God's word has never changed.
My God.
Has never changed.
Never changed.
He may change his heart about you and I, but his word stands. It stands firm.
It stands firm. That's it. That's it.
And it doesn't matter. We can say whatever we want. And actually, if you want to go into Romans 3, 4, he even talks about that.
Amen.
Let me get over here in Romans 3, 4 here for a second. 3, 4.
Okay. Take your time. Take your time.
Romans 3, 4. God forbid, God be true, but every man a liar.
A liar.
As it is written, that thou might be justified in thy saying,
mm-hmm.
and might overcome when thou hast judged. But this is 5 is but if our unrighteousness commend the righteous of the God, and shall we say, is God unrighteous, who taketh vengeance? I speak as a man. God forbid. For then how shall God judge the world?
My God.
And he says plainly. And go back, like I said, we can go back and say, I will lay it to waste. He's talking about his own creation. He's talking about the world.
Yes.
He's talking about the devastation of what's coming upon the world. For the vineyard of the Lord, of the host, of the house of Israel, and the men of Judah, his pleasant plant, that's us, his pleasant plant. He's talking about children of Israel and the children of Judah.
Uh-huh.
And he looked for the judgment, and behold, oppression for righteousness, but beheld a cry. Oh, unto those who joined the house to house, and lay field to field, till there is no place, they may be placed along in the midst of the earth. Understanding this, to be able to understand this. God is talking, you know, like I said, the oppression, the stuff that is coming upon the earth that we're seeing, that's coming here, and he is allowing, he's allowing the ISIS, he's allowing all this other stuff to come. That's oppression. That's the government. That's the state and the government bringing oppression onto the man, and it's not natural.
My God.
That's not what God intended for us to have. In my ears, says the Lord, the host of the true, many houses shall be desolate, even great and far or fair without habitation. He's talking about the rich and the poor alike. It doesn't make any difference who you are, because his righteousness and his word is going to stand firm. And those who are righteous and see that in Christ and not waver in these times right now of peril that we're coming into, that we stand in judgment of what's going on in the world and depart from it. That's where we need to be. And we need to be teaching this and telling this in the churches. We need to be sending the churches forth and bringing this word out, and those who don't want to hear it, God sits there and he even says, for those who have ears, let them hear. So if they don't want to hear it and they want to depart from your house, all you can just say is, God have mercy. And you know, it sounds cruel and it sounds that I don't care, but I do care. So does God. God cares for every one of them. But, you know, God is going to come to a point, he's going to lay down the law, and you're either going to be on one side of it or you're going to be on the other. God even says it in Revelation what's going to happen.
Amen.
Even in the hardest of times, the people will still curse God. Even the afflictions that come upon them, they're going to still curse God. Even yet, he told them these things were going to come upon them. He told them that these things are going to be, because they're the ones who walked away unbelief.
That's right, brother.
We need to stand firm, brother. We need to stand firm. We need to stand tall. We need to stand in the Word of God, and we cannot depart from it. Brother, you know, there's so much stuff that's in this Bible here that goes on and on and on. You can read scripture after scripture, brother. And it just keeps telling us. It warns us. It tells us the things that are good, the things of God, and it tells us the things that God dislikes. You know, and like I said, we can see this stuff that's going on in the world today. And my heart goes out. My heart cries out, and it bleeds for so many. You know. But yet there's so many out there that need to hear the word. If they reject you from speaking the word, God will send someone again and again and again until the point where there'll be a point where they'll either receive it or they'll die in their sins. God even says this.
Amen.
You know, I'm not sure exactly, because like I said, I've been all over this scripture here, reading it and trying to come into a lot of things into it, and then it just keeps coming back to me, you know.
Amen.
And it says in 13, therefore my people are gone into captivity because they have no knowledge, and they're humble men and as their multitude dry up thirst.
Amen.
This is because the church has come lack in what they're doing. The church has become lack. They want a feel good church. They want the prosperity spoken, but they don't. You know, you can't have prosperity without failure.
Amen.
If you can't understand what it is to fail, to be hungry, if you can't understand what it is, how can you judge? How can you be have a heart for Christ? How can you? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It says in Isaiah 14. It says, therefore, hell has enlarged her mouth and opened her mouth without measure, and the glory and their multitude, their pomp. And in the rejoice, we shall descend to it. In other words, all those people who are sitting right today, who are on a prosperity bandwagon and floating along like, hey, there's nothing wrong and everything's good and everything is, you know, I'm not trying to preach the fact that hell and destruction, you know, but that's still part of the Bible. That's still part of the Word. And we need to understand that. We need to understand that what in Revelation what is going to happen in the coming days. We need to understand. We need to prepare the people for it.
We must.
You have to, because we're going to be held accountable for it.
Amen.
We're going to be held accountable for it. And there's nothing wrong with having dreams. There's nothing wrong with having nice things. There's anything wrong with it. But if you put that ahead of God, you put that ahead of His Word, and you're going to go on through the land as a fairy tale, you're deceiving yourself. You're deceiving everybody else, and you're deceiving the body of Christ. those who are falling away, those who are going to fall into captivity, those who are going to be struck down in the days to come because they're not prepared.
No. And that's why we have to go get them prepared. We have to go tell them, get ready, because he's on his way back. He's on his way back.
Yes,
amen.
He is. Amen. You know, I just can't understand how it is that I've been seeing and watching, you know, and hearing in different places, and people are afraid to speak the truth because they don't want to offend somebody. You know what it's going to be like for those people that are going to stand before God, and God sit there and he's going to say, well done, good and faithful servant, or he's going to say, depart from me, you doers of iniquity. Now, I don't know about being offended. I don't know how you think is going to be offended that God offended me because he's cast me out. You know, you're not going to have to worry about that. You're going to have to worry about how to put out the flames for eternity. You know? Some of the people that have been, you know, I used to think myself, I joked and laughed about it, so I'm going to hell because that's where all my friends are going to be and we're just going to have one big party. But, you know, I got thinking about this, all that heat down there, how are you going to put ice in their drinks?
Not
good. You know? And I'm just joking. I'm being a little light here on that. But you know, the true burning in hell, you know, for eternity. And you know, there's going to be a lot of people who believe they're righteous are going to be swallowed up. God says so. They're going to be swallowed up.
Swallowed up.
Because they were not true to the word. They did not judge. All they wanted to do was escape by. They wanted to feel good, prosperity teaching. That's all they needed. That's all they wanted to do. They didn't want to get involved. They didn't want to hear. They didn't want to hear all the garbage. They didn't want to hear all the bad stuff. They didn't want to hear about the curses. They didn't want to hear about, you know. But that's the stuff. You can see it. You can see it in the home. You know, they got to the point we can't discipline the children.
Mm-hmm.
The government wants to raise your children. They take them out of your hands.
Yes.
You know, Hillary Clinton. My spirit just quaked when she sat there and says it takes a village to raise a child. Well, she was actually saying it's going to take the government to raise your children. Now, I don't know about you, but I don't think the government's doing a hotshot job of taking care of itself, let alone try to take care of my kids.
Talk about it, brother. Talk about it.
You know, that's just wrong. That goes into the point of oppression. Because we're going to be, those people are going to be set into oppression. We can see it. We can see it in North Korea. We can see it in other communistic countries. We can see in socialist nations. We can see it that where these people have been oppressed for years and years and years. They're afraid of the gospel because the gospel sets them free.
Sets them free.
Right. It puts them in mind of who God is and what we are created for. We were created for life and not for servitude.
Mm-hmm.
We are to serve one another, but we are not supposed to be gone into oppression and be in servitude.
My God.
That makes sense?
Makes sense. And see, one thing, my brother, I hear what you're saying, and I agree with you. The times we now live in, and you have current information, because what we need to do as ministers of the gospel of Jesus Christ, we need to take down our tents and say, we're not going to preach Jesus, we ain't going to preach.
That's right.
Because right now, we're living in a time where we need to know that he is who he say he is, and we believe who he say he is, and we do what he said to do. See, right now, I look at what's going on in Israel. They got the high priest, the Urim and Thurim, what the high priest wore. They got the red heifer ready. I said, people, do y'all understand what's happening? God is sending signs and signals. He's flashing. Get ready, get ready, get ready, get ready. Because he's soon to come back. And when Jesus come back, he's coming back for the church. He's coming back for the church.
Without blemish and without wrinkle.
Yes, indeed. And see, one thing I will say, if I may, permit me to.
Sure.
Go ahead and we on. Go ahead. We hook back up.
Yeah, as the truth goes, they're trying to silence us, brother.
Yeah, that's what they're trying to do. That's what they're trying to do. Can't do it.
Yep. Amen. Oh. Amen.
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 Amen. Amen. Oh, Jesus, have mercy, have mercy. To God be the glory. You, we got in some deep word, my brother. See, the devil don't want the people. He don't want the truth that you and I are talking about. We're not trying to put nobody down. We're trying to help somebody. We're not trying to waste
That's
somebody.
Right.
Amen.
That's right.
So
we can't keep giving them milk. God said there, you know. So eventually, we're going to have to sit there and start giving them a T-bone or a side of beef or something to chew on for a while, you know?
Yeah, I know.
Because drinking that milk, you know, that isn't going to help. We got to wean the people off of milk.
Amen. See, and you and I were talking about something that's very, very, very prevalent. Because we're living in a time where that the enemy is coming in with darkness. The government has said already, and see, as I said, I don't talk about, I call it, it's the president's office, it's the Republican, it's the senators, it's the House of Legislation. Those persons are elected. They're going to have to give a charge to God what they've done. And now all of a sudden they said, we need to take the Social Security checks and cut it back. We need to cut this back and cut this back and cut this back. I said, wait a minute. What are they trying to do? Y'all already got people on Starved Road, so the enemy is already here. Ain't got to be black or white. It's the enemy of darkness.
That's right.
He's already said. And more people, and I'm like you, sometimes I get so upset, brother, but I have to pray for patience. Some people don't want to tell the truth. They don't want to hear the truth. I was telling a man, yes, sir.
I know that. For years they've been. You look, welfare and all that stuff was to help us as a handout or a hand up, not a handout. It wasn't for people to live on. You know, and then when you get people saying that the corporations were built by, you know what, I have my own business. I've had different businesses all my life. You know, I've never really worked for anybody. And I built those. I've spent 30, 60, 80, 100 hours a week sometimes, you know, figuring out jobs and building and constructing and hiring people and doing all that stuff. You know, that was time and labor and sweat. And, you know, there was times where I had to pay everybody and I didn't have any money for myself, you know?
I hear what you're saying. I agree with you 100%. Let's take it to another level. See, there are some people in America don't know how to hold a job. There's some elderly people that need help. And when I see the government, all of a sudden, they decide they want to cut tax. They want to, for the rich, they want taxes to be lower. And the rich get richer. I found out just looking at it, the billionaires want to buy submarines. Now, they done bought a submarine. I mean, you got that kind of money, why don't you try to help people get a, build a business, like you said. Get this thing operational. Because what's going to happen in America, America got 2 years to make it. If we don't get it right, brother, we're going to have the biggest war we ever seen right in America. We got you 2 years to get it right. 2 years to get it right. And my prayer to God is, please have mercy. I'm not afraid. I'm not ashamed. I don't mind telling the truth. I know I've hurt a lot of people, but I've told them nothing but the truth. If you don't know Jesus, you're going to hell. You're going to hell. If you don't know Jesus. And the most important thing, like you and I are both saying, a lot of the pastors don't want to stir up their congregation. They don't want too much to say to them because it's going to mess with their, I call it slop jaw. You know, where they get their love, whatever.
You bet. That's what he said. You know, even when I was talking to, Winston today, you know, and he was in agreement with me, and you can call him and ask him if you want to. But he said, you know, I said the pews weren't made for people to sit in. It was there for us to feed them and put them back out into the field to harvest more. It wasn't to take a head count.
But my brother, I'm telling you right now, there are more pastors in the city of Houston and Texas are going to lose their pastorship because they're not doing what God called them. My prayers go out for them. You got these big churches. I know all these big churches. You know what? They got a big light bill they got to pay, a big water bill they got to pay. All these big churches that say, well, we this and we that. No, you're going to lose them, right, in the next 2 years because some people are not going to give it up. They're not going to bring people to their knees and say, look, I want to have a prayer meeting tonight. For the next 20 days, we want them to have a prayer meeting every night. If you're a member of this church, we're going to have a prayer meeting. We're going to pray for at least 1 hour because the Bible said, Jesus said, a pastor said, can you not pray with me for 1 hour? If we can't stay in prayer for 1 hour, we in trouble.
You bet. Sometimes I get up at 4 o'clock in the morning and I pray for 3.5-4 hours.
I know it. Likewise. And see, the thing that we're keeping going this gospel. See, a lot of people say, you got the radio station. Why don't you make money? This radio station is not here to make money. It's to put the gospel of Jesus Christ out.
You bet.
It's about Jesus. And I said, Lord, I need God to send me. I put a word out, somebody else. I'm not begging or borrowing. I'm believing. And see, people like you I can live with because you do nothing but tell the truth. See, ain't no man going to come up to me and say what you said. It had to be the Holy Ghost telling you to tell me. Because I'm a listener to the Holy Spirit. I want more of the anointing. I want more of it so I can tell folks. I want more of it. See, Jesus already said to the churches, and my wife has been studying the book of Revelation. And she's been asking me certain questions. I said, okay, here's the answer. See, not so much that I know, but I just believe. And all those churches are mentioned, you won't find them all in the New Testament. You're going to find Ephesians. You're not going to find Sarah. You're going to find Pergamum. You're not going to find some of them. But here's what it says. God says to the seven churches throughout Asia. Now, that's the continent we live on. He's given a word. To each one of those different countries. He said, I know your works. I know you're not hot or cold. But I wish you were hot. Why? Because if you hunt for the Lord, you can. We don't mind having a prayer meeting. We don't mind having a revival. But it's all about me, I, King, won't you, don't you?
Yep.
And my wife has told me, said, don't get hard on the pastor. I said, I'm not hard on the pastor. I love him. I don't want to see him go to hell.
Amen. You know, I have a friend of mine. They lost the one building, and I said, you know what? I said, God will build a bigger house than what we could build. All we gotta do is be what God wants us to be in the pulpit. You know, we don't need flashing lights and big bands, and we don't need all that stuff. All we need to do is start speaking the word of God, and God will fill that house. He will sit there, and He will expand the tent, the walls. He will raise the ceiling. He will do it all. All we have to do is be there, willing, and to speak the truth, and to preach and to teach the word of God as it was written. And not for a hearsay to make somebody feel good. You know, sometimes the truth hurts.
It does.
But you know, but in the end, you know, they come back and say, thank you. I mean, when God came after me, I mean, He blistered my butt. But you know, I sat there one day and I finally sat down and said, you know what, Lord, thank you.
Thank you
for what you did to me. Because I did, but you know, through what you did to me, I have a better understanding and a better appreciation for you, Lord, than I have ever had. Now, there isn't a child that you haven't sit there and corrected that sit there and didn't have some respect for you because you took the measures to correct your child. And those people who are not correcting their children are saying, "Oh, we're not supposed to do that. We're just supposed to put them in time out. We're supposed to give them a star on their head and say, behave yourself and be good. You're a good child." Well, you know, that's kind of the point where it's just like an alcoholic. You know, when they said alcoholism is not your fault, it's maybe because of your mother, your brother's sister's uncle, cousin's mother-in-law's brother, whoever, way back where, and it's a seed, it's a progression, and it's not your fault. Well, you know what they did right then and there, because drinking is a choice. Nobody held a gun to my head when I drank. Nobody held a gun to my head when I was doing drugs. I made those choices. And I needed to take responsibility for them. And when we sit there and neglect the responsibility that we need to take for ourselves,
we're in trouble.
We're in trouble.
We're in trouble. And you know, some of us pastors, as you and I was just talking about what God is going to do, one thing that God wants us to do, you and I, and like I said to many people, the reason why the radio station, again, I've had it so organized, but I had people fighting about the word of God. They want to argue.
Sure.
I had a board set up. They want to do this, want to do that. And I said, wait a minute, Lord. I said, what am I doing wrong here? Everybody wants to do what they want to do. Come to find out, one of them was full of sin, messing with another woman. I said, I can't deal with this brother. He won't listen to me. So I say this with love and kindness. I don't hate the brother or sister, but I put him at a place where God can deal with him. Because God can deal... God can deal with them better than I can he?
That's right. That's all you can do. So like I said, you know, like I said, I may sound harsh when I sit there and I said, you know, let those people go. Because
no, you're right. You're right. You're right, my brother. You're right.
We can tell them over and over and over again. We can explain. We can show them in word for scripture, word for word, and we can tell them and show them. And if they don't want to receive it, then... God said, that's just basically the same thing as, you know, stomp the dust off your feet and go on.
Yeah. And that's,
you know,
all we can do.
That's right. You know, when God had all those, when Jesus had all those that were following him, and it was a multitude. And
yes,
then he stopped
sir.
And turned, and he says, okay, here's what's going to happen to you. You're going to be persecuted. You're going to be burned at the stake. You're going to be crucified. You're going to be this, that, and so on and so forth. And he stood
yes.
there, and he watched. He watched him depart. He watched him walk away. You think God's going to have a house full of people like that? when he built something so beautiful and something that he had was so precious to him as a gift to give to us, and we demolish it, like I said, this is his vineyard.
Amen.
And we demolish it for our own selfishness, our self-righteousness. We demolish what God had put and planned for us, and he's going to, and we expect to go to heaven and sit there and say, hey, here I am, where's my kingdom? You know, that's the same thing. It's like, you know, well, we're entitled to welfare. No, nobody's entitled to anything.
No.
We're not entitled to welfare. We're not entitled. You know, the only thing that we're entitled to is those who paid in Social Security should receive Social Security.
Yes. And you know one thing I always say, I tell people, you're on welfare because you don't want to work.
That's right. That's right. There's I've stood there and I look and I see there's jobs out there for people, but they just don't want to do them. And I've listened to people that sit there and they say, you know, I got to hire somebody, brought them into work, and they have no work ethic. They have nothing. You know, it's like, I really don't want to be here, but, you know, and what's wrong? Because nobody's teaching anybody responsibility.
Nope.
None. And we're coming to a lawless society and a self-want and a self-need society, and this is what God even said in Revelation. He said that we're going to be people, lovers of ourselves. And we're going to think all of ourselves, and we're not going to think anything highly of anybody else. And I've got to take the respect for somebody who hired me to give me a job so I could put food on the table so maybe that I might be able to fulfill my part in having a dream of having a home, having a car, having a family, having all the other things I desire by saving my money that I earn.
And you know what? People are going to get upset because they see you in something looking halfway decent. They're going to get upset at you. I don't care if you jump out in a brand new truck. It don't bother me. That means
that's
I
right.
have to have the same faith you got to get what I got.
That's right.
See,
that's,
and people are jealous. Right. See, the enemy is jealous of what we have. And he's going to tell somebody, see that? Look at them preachers. Look at them. You do something about them. Can't do nothing. Well, you know what? One thing they're going to have to remember is this. God blesses those who give. And if I can show, them in the scripture. I can take the Old Testament, middle Old Testament, New Testament. Blessed are the cheerful givers, for in their heart God sees it. When I look in the book of Deuteronomy, I find that God said, I, God, give thee wealth that you may put my covenant in the earth. See, a lot of people don't believe that the money that God gives is to give to the building up of ministers that are doing God's work. Not because somebody said, this is what the Lord has told me to do. You got to be tried and tested.
That's right.
Am
That's
I right, Pastor?
That's right. That's right. I've been tried and I've been tested, and be honest with you, and I got to be upfront and honest because I'm human. You know,
yeah.
I failed a couple times. You
yeah.
know, I've repented. But I failed. I've screwed up. I've gone, you know, and I've repented.
Yeah.
And God says that's okay, no problem, don't worry about it. But the only thing is, see, when he tests us and puts us in the fire,
yes.
and then when we come out on the other end, we're a better person for it. Like I said, regardless if we fail, we really don't fail because it's a learning curve, because
Amen.
we've learned where we were weak, we learned where we were strong. We learned the fact that maybe we were too strong, we should have been a little weaker, and where we were too weak, we should have been a little stronger. It's just
strong.
A learning.
It's a learning curve.
It has nothing to do with the fact that God is punishing you. It's nothing to do that he's putting you through these trials because all he's trying to do is stretch you. He's trying to mold you. He's trying to embrace you. He's trying to build you up, and, you know, and we fail, but that's okay. The test wasn't to fail. It was to show us ourselves, where we were weak at, where our heart was at.
Amen.
It's just like when the rich man came to Jesus and sat there and he told him, says, look, it's like give, and I've done all these wonderful things, and I've been trying to stay true to the word, you know, and everything else, and all these things that and Jesus sat there and says, well, this is one thing that you need to do, is you need to give all your stuff away and follow me. And it broke the man's heart, and he walked away because he showed him right then and there. He's a lover of his thing and not of God.
Amen. But you know what? When you take all your time, your ability, and you give it up to God, and God makes a way for you to move forward. Just like I say about you and I, we are both ministers. We are pressing toward the call of God. Not what somebody say about us or to us, but we just want the people out there to know that God is able for them. Somebody to call upon the name of Jesus Christ and confess that he is their Lord. So that when he comes back, there won't be a question mark. As I always say, Pastor, when somebody said, I said, no, God don't hear stuttering. It's clarity.
That's right.
It's clarity. Do you love Lord Jesus Christ? Yes, I do. Are you willing to do all for the Lord Jesus? Yes, I am. Are you willing to lay it all down for Jesus? Yes, I am. And God's going to allow, see, the devil's going to be hearing. He's going to come and he's going to test you. He's going to test you. And we're going to, I'm telling you right now, I'm being tested. But I know God has preserved me. Somebody said to me, Brother Irvin, they said to me, have you charged God for him letting happen to you? I said, no, I will never charge God. I said, if anybody else, I'll charge Willie Hunter, because Willie Hunter should have been obeying God. They said, I don't see how that's possible, man. I said, no. Because God had me, I should have stopped some things I was doing. I didn't do them. I should have did some things, God, but I didn't do it. See, when you move out of God's presence, the devil has a good shot at you.
That's right.
He's going to do everything he can. Everything he can. I lost a ton of money, but God has let me know. He said, because if you stay under my wing, that's why you read Psalm, he that dwells in the sixth place of the Most High shall dwell under the wings of the Almighty. When you're under his wing, he's like, he has his wings, he covers you. Satan can't get in there. He's trying everything. He's going to fight, but he can't get in there. And so, as I tell people, I say, no, I'm all right. God has already healed me. Right now, as the Apostle Paul said, we don't know if Paul was limp or what, but he says, I went to the Lord three times, and I prayed, and the Lord said, my grace is sufficient in your time of weakness.
Amen.
God Almighty. And everybody tell me, sir?
Yeah, you know, the devil can go, see, even in Isaiah 5, where it goes on in there, and it says that even he will tear down his hedges. That's for those who believe they're righteous. He's going to sit there and he's just going to open up the gate and say, okay, you're such a righteous man, you deal with it.
You deal with it.
You deal with it and watch how far you get, you know? Because it's God who is righteous. Not you and I. We can only...
I'm not righteous, man. I'm trying to live a life of righteousness. I'm doing righteousness is perceived by the word of God. The more we and let God come in. And there's some words you said I love earlier in the program. You said we got to trust more in God and not man.
That's right.
Something along that word you said. And I said, this man got a heart out for God. See, I'm sitting somewhere right now behind this radio station declaring and decreeing the word of God along with you. And the more we tell the people, see, nobody will ever be able to say when they go, nobody told us. We done told you. We're on the way. The highway has been open. They're open. You preaching, I'm preaching. You done told them what they do. But they, well, you know, they don't sound like my preaching. Let me tell you, the word is the word. Repent,
right.
Repent. Repent, repent.
That's
salvation,
right.
Salvation.
Right.
Accept Jesus Christ, accept Jesus Christ. See, America is in a whole lot of, as I say then, I say it like this, it with love in my heart. See, in the book of Ezekiel, the prophet built some dung cakes. You know what dung is, don't you?
Yep.
And he wanted to give them to God. God said, okay. He said, you cook them. He said, I'm going to do it. You eat them. God told the prophet, you eat them. Oh, no. He said, well, I'm not going to. Why you want me to eat them? See, but God was saying this, don't bring me your dung.
That's right. Don't bring me your stuff.
No. And the stuff and the stuff that some people just want to bring stuff versus stuff. And they don't want to do it. They don't want no truth. Amen.
Yep. Amen. Well, you know, see, when I'm out on missions and stuff like that, you know, and the stuff that we sometimes get, it, you know, it's just like, are you really serious? You know, it might come from the heart. Maybe they're just say, well, this is a good way I can just empty out my garage and my closet and get rid of all this stuff. And, you know, and really think about it and say, well, you know, why is it in your closet in the first place? Because you don't want it anymore. It's not, you know, why not give something that was precious to you? Because the more precious... God gave Jesus. It was the most precious thing to him. He gave his only begotten son for us.
For us.
You know, and then if you're going to give to God, you know, it's even like Cain and Abel. Abel gave the best that he had, and Cain got jealous.
Yeah.
You know, so if you gave your best... You know, I was at a church in North Carolina. I was working at a church in North Carolina for a little bit, and there was a young girl come up there, and she was slow, you know, and the pastor sat there, and I'm going to say her name is Sarah. I'm not going to say what her, you know, anyhow. But she started to sing, and she was singing off key, and she was just wailing and everything else and got all done, and the pastor says, well, Sarah, that was just the most beautiful thing I ever heard. So the next Sunday, the little girl gets up again, or the pastor says, Sarah, will you come up here and sing a song again? So you're such a pretty voice. And she was singing, and she was wailing and screaming, basically, and out of key, and just, you know, mumbling words. And I'm going, oh, my God. And God said, isn't that beautiful? And it dawned on me right then and there. That little girl, as bad as off key and almost horrendous as it sounded, and I mean be respectful here, she was singing from her heart, and that's what God was listening to.
That's all God wanted to know, from the heart.
As God was listening to her heart, he didn't care what it sounded like. He didn't care if she was singing off key, didn't care if she was mumbling some of the words, it didn't care, it didn't matter to him one bit, because what he was looking at her heart. And, you know, there's so many people, so many churches, and so many pastors, they have taken I think I spoke about it once before, and that, doggone, I forgot the word again. when we sit there and give our best, you know, that's all we can do.
I know.
That's what we can do. Because that's what God looks at. And, you know, like I said, you know, and it's not the gold-plated faucets and granite countertops. the spirit of excellence. The spirit of excellence is in your heart. It's
yes.
not in the material thing.
Amen.
And when we start researching the heart and we start looking at the heart of man, as God looks at the heart of man and starts looking at that, you know, there's more people that are saved and give
yeah.
their lives to the Lord in parking lots, in back alleys, whorehouses, and in bars, in Walmart, in you know, in Walmart parking lots, in on the street corner, than most churches, because the churches are sitting there, they're taking numbers, but those
uh-huh.
are out there in the field that are ministering to the people on the street, you know, they're not taking numbers. Only thing they're doing is what they're doing is being John the Baptist, going out, preaching the gospel,
mm-hmm.
and having the people say, hey, look, and the Christ that's in us, that the Holy Spirit, no man goes before God except through me, says the Lord Jesus. So if the Holy Spirit is in you, you will draw that person to you.
To you,
so will
you yes.
minister to them. You see what I mean?
Amen.
I've been out with people and say, hey, we're gonna go minister to people out on the street, and I said, okay. So you wanna come? And I said, okay. And they said, well, what are you gonna do? And I said, I'm gonna stand here. And they look at me like, well, don't you need to go up there and talk to them people? I said, no, I'm gonna stand here. I said, because the Holy Spirit will draw that person I need to talk to. I said, I don't have to chase them down the street and beat them over the head with the Bible, because what did I accomplish?
I hear you.
I didn't accomplish anything. All I got was that person frustrated, saying, I don't want to hear that crap, blah, blah, blah. I don't want to hear that, da, 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 you know. And they're going to go on. They're going to say, boy, them Christians are a nuisance. But if you stand still and you be of the Spirit of God, be the John the Baptist, be that of Christ, and stand and hold your ground, God will send those to you to minister to.
Amen. Well, you know, brother, I want you to just lead us in prayer. I want to thank and all we give to the Lord tonight. Lead us in prayer. And somebody out there may be listening. We don't know, but we just want to let them know what God has done for us. Go ahead, Pastor.
Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord. Thank you for this day, Lord. Thank you for this radio station, Lord. Thank you for those who are listening, Lord. Lord, you know, sometimes we sound like we're ranting and raving, but in all respect, Lord, we're bringing respect to you, to your altar, Lord, to your throne, Lord. And we're
yes.
bringing correction to the heart of man, Lord. Those who've been deceived by the wiles of man, you know, Lord, they're self-righteous, Lord. And the things that they hear, you know, and they can't make heads or tails, Lord, that really is being spoken. Even if it sounds like we're breaking and tearing apart the church, we're not, Lord. We're trying to uplift it. We're trying to get the oppression off and set free, Lord, and set the people free. Lord, if we had said anything that was offensive to you or to the body, forgive us, Lord. But I know that somewhere out there, somebody had to hear the word and hear the truth, Lord. They've been drinking milk too long, Lord, and they need to be able to take the meat and take the meal that you prepared before them, Lord. And I ask, Lord, that the words that they were spoken tonight would go forth, Lord, into their hearts, Lord, and they would meditate on those words, Lord. And Father, I ask that they begin to look in Scripture, Lord, and not look at it as a man, but look at it in the Spirit of God, through the eyes of the Holy Spirit, Lord, that will feed them, Lord, that will continue to feed them, Lord, and if they thirst, and Lord, that will quench their thirst, Lord. Father, I ask right now that if there's anybody out there right now who is wavering and don't understand it, somehow or another, Lord, that you begin to reveal the truth into their hearts, Lord. Lord, for those out there who are wondering if you're real, Lord, I ask right now, Lord, that you would present yourself, that you would manifest yourself, Lord, to them, Lord, that they
yeah.
don't that know the truth, Lord, that the oppression, Lord, that we break off them now, right now, in the name of Jesus, that you are real, Lord. Father, I ask for anybody right now that want to give their life to you, Lord, that you would receive them, Lord, as you said you would, as they are. It makes no difference how dirty they've been. It makes no difference where they've come from, what they've been through, Lord, that you're there to heal. You're there to restore. You're there to help, Lord. And you're there to for that salvation, Lord, and for that present that kingdom, for the kingdom of heaven to the Father and the throne, Lord.
Yes,
Father,
Lord.
I ask now, Lord, that you would just, as they ask for you to come into their lives, Lord, that you begin to restore, Lord, as they repent of their ways, Lord, for the salvation, Lord, that they be saved and knowing that they're going to heaven and not to hell. We thank you, Father, for what you're doing in the great nation. We thank you for what you're doing across this country, Lord, and around the world, Lord, that is drawing those near and far, Lord, into repentance, Lord. Those that they're seeing what the world is becoming, Lord, that they rebuke it, Lord, and begin to judge it for what it is, Lord, and turn back to righteousness of Christ, Lord, that is in you, into the Word of God. And we thank you, Father, in Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. We want to thank everybody listening tonight, and we just believe you got our number, 425-08-95. And just remember, we'll be back tonight. Pastor, be back again. God bless you. God keep you. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Good night.
Good night.